Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Welcome back, you horny little rats. It's time to smut up and listen.
Just a reminder for today's episode and all future episodes, our opinions are subjective. We don't advocate for kink shaming or author shaming. This is all in good smutty fun. Enjoy. And don't forget to check out patreon.com/smutupandlisten to listen to the r/smut podcast, where Riley and I will be doing blind reactions every Tuesday to Reddit erotica.
Today's trigger warnings are explicit sexual content.
And I have a Spotify comment, and this one is from, I'm going to spell it, okay, guys? This one's from OAODKCKDNSNSKOS. Thank you.
Why?
You guys make me laugh so much, I can't even. 3 crying laughing emojis out of 10. I literally binged all of your episodes, and I seriously have an addiction now.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. All the letters of the alphabet, we appreciate it.
And this week, we're telling Riley all about The Hot Vampire Next Door by Nikki St. Crow. And how many stars did you guys give it on Goodreads?
I gave it 3. I want it to be an actual book. I don't want to read 12 mini books.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of this, like, mini book series. Nikki, I love you so much. You are the best. I love all your other books, but make it one book.
Why do you think they do it that way?
I don't know.
Maybe so they can get published faster?
Maybe. Other than that, I liked it. I just want it to be a whole book.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I gave it...
I don't know if you guys are ready for this one.
A 5-star.
A 5-star.
Hello.
The book that I read, I totally agree with Shelby. Like, when it was over, I was just like, for real. But like, in the book itself, I loved it. I couldn't put it down. It was a little bit predictable, like, yeah, but loved it. He is hot. I love him.
He is hot.
I don't like the man on the cover. I'm going to say that now. I don't know what about him. There's something about him.
He doesn't even like fit the description, really. Like, I mean, I guess it's just like a side profile, but in my head, it's just not what I pictured.
Yeah, you can just picture something else.
Henry Cavill.
Henry Cavill.
Yes.
Yeah. I gave it a 3.5. It was good. It was enjoyable. I didn't feel compelled to get right into the second one. Maybe if I'm in like a reading slump, I'll pick it up. But yeah, 3.5. It was good. It was enjoyable. It wasn't anything that I'll stay awake thinking about, but it was good. I had a good time reading it. So we start out with our female main character, Jessie. She comes from a family that binds themselves to vampire houses to basically become on-demand juice boxes.
Oh. Yeah. Do they get paid or something?
I think they get like a lot of benefits. The vampire families are super rich, so I'm sure they could ask for literally anything and the vampire family would be like, okay, juice box.
Okay.
Her family binds themselves to the Lock House, and they live in a town called Midnight Harbor. And the town is filled with vampires, werewolves, witches, fae trapped in the human realm, and shifters. So it's this huge population of supernaturals in this little town.
Cool.
Yeah.
If I lived in a town full of supernaturals and I was human, oh,
I'd be pissed.
I'd be stoked.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I'd be pissed.
Well, I would want to be one of them. I wouldn't want to be a stupid human.
Yeah.
I just think it would be so cool.
I'm like, all this exists and I'm fucking mortal? That is so rude.
Bullshit.
There are three main rules for this agreement. One, a vampire shall not pierce the flesh of a mortal without their permission. Two, a vampire shall not enter the dwelling of a bound mortal without their permission. And three, a vampire shall not drain a mortal's veins.
Like kill him.
Yes.
Okay.
It's almost Jessie's 21st birthday, and she'll be required to pledge to a vampire house, but she plans on leaving Midnight Harbor instead. She's closing up shop at her barista job when Bran Duval walks in, and he's the outcast of the Duval family and also her hot neighbor.
Oh. Of course his name is Bran.
Bran. She's trying to mask her arousal scent because she often peeps into his windows and has hate sex dreams about him.
Oh.
Yeah. She tries acting casual and is like, I didn't take you as a coffee lover. And Bran is like, well, I didn't take you as a peeping Tom, but here we are.
Oh.
And he like stands naked at his window.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's just like, oh my God.
Just staring at him.
Yes.
He says he's not here for coffee anyway. He's here to warn her that his house plans to bid on her for her birthday. And she's like, what the fuck? Why? And he's like, I don't know. I told my brother he's dumb to bid on a difficult little blood bag like you. And so she pulls a knife out and is like, get the fuck out of here.
Yes. She fully brandishes a weapon and is like, fuck you.
Yeah.
She's like, don't ever say that.
He disappears, but almost instantly her back is slammed up against his chest with his hand around her throat.
Oh.
She manages to stab him in the chest, but he just takes it out and throws it like it's a toothpick. He's like, pesky.
Said, I'm a vampy girl. You need a wooden stake and some garlic.
You know that. He holds on to her and says he doesn't want to fight her. And now Jessie doesn't know why, but she's hella soaked.
We know why. Like, come on.
I mean, yeah, if a man does that to you, just, oof. I feel like I'd be like, oh my God.
Are you flirting with me?
Oh, God. Let me just quit my job right now.
His nostrils flare and he calls her a naughty girl, and she tells him to get off of her. He eyes her up and she's like, if you're gonna bite me, just go ahead and do it then. And he just chuckles and turns to leave, but before he does, he drops the bomb that Jessie's sister Kelly is the one who suggested that the Duvals bid on her. She gets home that night and has a text from her bestie Sam asking if she's game for a party the next night. Jessie calls her and spills the beans on everything that went down with Bran at the coffee shop, and Sam is like, he's your neighbor, just walk over there and demand more information. She reluctantly says, okay, she will. And when she gets to Bran's house, he's already on the porch and is like, come inside and I'll tell you. And Jessie's like, no way, I'm not going into your house. And then he's like, what, are you afraid or something? And she's like, okay, fine. And so she follows him inside. He pours them a glass of whiskey each and tells her that Kelly met with his brother Damien two nights ago to suggest that they bid on her. And then he's like, why don't you just turn down the bid if you're so worried about it? Jessie says she's leaving Midnight Harbor ASAP, so she's not accepting anybody's bid. And then he gets all ominous and tells Jessie to ask her sister about the day she was born and literally shoves her out his front door. Like, he's like, get the fuck out.
I would have been like, what the fuck does that mean?
The next day, she goes out during the day with Sam and tells her about what happened. And Sam is like, you need to ask your sister because that's weird as hell. And Jesse's like, yeah, you're right. There's something fishy going on.
Okay, yeah. Why wouldn't you just go directly to your fucking sister after that happened and be like, hey, what's all this mean?
The night before, she got home and her sister was like watching, I don't know, like Desperate Housewives or something.
Hella drunk.
Oh, I was like, I would have stood in front of the TV and said, tell me.
I feel like the whole book could have been avoided if she would have just asked, but whatever.
Then we wouldn't have a book, you
guys.
Yeah,
that's true, that's true, that's
true. Then we wouldn't have a book. She gets home and stares out her bedroom window at Bran's bedroom window, just thinking about what could be going on here, when all of a sudden, the curtains swing open and he's standing there butt-ass naked.
Hubba hubba. I can't stop staring at him. I can't tear my eyes away. Bran is ridiculously manscaped. Well, not ridiculously, expertly, perfectly. And what he has below that manscaping is, it's at this moment that I realize I've been staring at his crotch for far too long, and I drag my eyes up to meet his. I mean, how could you not?
Honestly.
If there's just a naked man with his dick out,
And he's hot.
Manscaped.
Yeah, I feel like I'd be like, you want me to look? You're standing there.
She yells at him that he's a perv, and he's like, you're the one waiting for me to open the blinds, you fucking weirdo. And then he's gone. Kelly gets home from work a while later, and she's looking a little more rough than usual. Like, she has bags under her eyes, she looks tired, something is clearly going on. She asks her sister about what it was like when she came home from the hospital as a baby, and Kelly was like, you were so cute and so sweet, and I just loved you so much. And then Jesse starts to bring up the Duval bid, but Kelly's like, oh shit, I actually have to go, bye. And she leaves. There's a party tonight, so Jesse starts getting ready for it when she gets a call from an unknown number. She answers it, and it's Bran asking what she's wearing tonight because his brother will be at the party too. And she's like, let me grab my outfit, I guess, and I'll show you. She grabs jeans and a tie-dye sweatshirt, and when she opens her panty drawer, he's like, you don't get to wear panties tonight.
He knows the sound of my panty drawer opening. I stand frozen in the middle of my closet, my core clenched tight. I'm suddenly flush all over and so fucking turned on, I want to scream at him. No panties? No panties? The thought makes me wet. I'm tingling between my legs like a live wire has been jacked into me. Shit. You're gonna fucking raw dog it in some denim?
Ow.
I've done it before. It's not like the worst thing.
What about your discharge? Like, what do you do?
Yeah, does it just like chill on your like legs? Like, I don't understand. I don't get it.
I will say I only wear panties like half the time.
Yeah, but in jeans?
I don't wear jeans, so.
But what do you do?
You just freeball it. If I'm home, I'm not wearing underwear.
Yeah, there's no undies on. Sleeping? Absolutely not.
Ask me if I'm wearing underwear right now.
Are you?
No.
I am.
Jenna, are you?
Yeah, I always wear underwear.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm with Shelby. I'm always wearing them.
I think that's the normal thing. Yeah.
Oh, just me and Riley are the fucking weirdos.
Yeah. I know that some people don't wear them at night because, like, it's better for you not to, but I have to.
Oh, yeah, I'd never wear them at night. I'm like, no,
I gotta be able to, like, spread eagle it wide open.
Yeah, air it out. So Jesse is like, fuck it, no panties, I guess. And she decides on a bodycon skirt and a white t-shirt with no panties.
Wow, a choice, but brave. Go off.
Yeah. She changes and goes to the window so he can see her, and she lifts up the hem of her skirt from the side so he can see that she's going full commando. And he's like, good girl, behave yourself tonight. And then he hangs up the phone. Her and Sam get to the party, and they're drinking and fraternizing with the supernaturals that are all there. And then she's approached by a werewolf called Evan. He's hella sexy, and she finds herself getting cozier with him the more she drinks. She's eventually sitting on his lap when he starts running his fingers up her skirt, and just as things start getting steamy, she sloshes her drink and spills it all over them. And he's like, hey, why haven't we hooked up yet? And she's like, because you're a wolf, and my mom warned me about wolves. She goes in to kiss him when a strong hand wraps around her waist, pulling her back off Evan, and it's Bran.
Hot. That it said, take me home.
Bran is like, okay, that's enough. Jesse's leaving, and Evan is like, what the fuck, bro? You don't own her. Sam steps up and is like, don't fucking touch my friend. But Bran grabs Jesse and takes off with his superhuman vampire speed.
As if you can outrun
him. Yeah, he said, you better hold on tight, spider monkey.
I'm just picturing him, like, just take here and be like, boom, got a blast.
Yeah, that's what happens. They wind up at the cemetery, and she punches him as soon as he lets her down. She asks why he's being such an asshole, and he tells her dogs are beneath her, and he presses her into a tree with his big, hard body. And she's like, it was your fault. You told me not to wear panties, and I got horny.
I lick my lips, and Bran watches my tongue dart out. I feel him grow hard against my thigh, and that burns away the last of the alcohol in my bloodstream. It yanks me back into reality. He's hard because of me. A thrill builds in my belly. Bran's hand comes to my face. His fingertips press hard at my jaw, but his thumb is gentle as he wipes the wetness from my lips. And now, he asks, are you horny now? Nope. He leans in and puts his mouth at my ear. Liar. With no fabric to shield me, my wetness is coating my inner thighs. I knew he'd know that, but I like watching how he reacts to my defiance.
He tells her he told her not to wear panties to test her obedience and pins her arms above her head with one hand. He then runs his other hand up her skirt. And he asks if she wants to know why her sister is pawning her off, or is she just going to run away from Midnight Harbor without finding out?
I can feel the heat of his touch just inches from my wet center. He's so close, so impossibly close. A moan escapes me, and I squirm in his grip. Mouse? Huh? Look at me. I open my eyes to find his glowing impossibly gold. It's the flame all over again, burning bright in the dark. Look at me when I touch you. And then he sinks two fingers inside of me and my world comes undone.
Hot.
Yeah. Hot or spooky getting finger blasted at the cemetery?
Both.
Depends on the cemetery, I think.
Yeah, I think it depends on the cemetery, but I don't know, actually, because sometimes I feel like people are, like, disrespectful towards cemeteries. Is that would that be considered disrespectful? You know?
I don't know.
You're giving the ghosts a show that they probably haven't seen in a while.
That's true.
As long as you're not doing it, like, on somebody's headstone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it's fair. Hot, then. Hot.
They're up against the tree. That's hot.
I moan as Bran fills me up and his thumb flicks at my clit. He drops my wrists and I have to put my hands on his shoulders just to stay upright. My knees are shaking, thighs quivering. I want more of him. I want him to throw me on the mossy ground and fuck me until I can't.
And she's getting hot and bothered right now. But he's like also having like a whole ass combo with her while he's like knuckles deep inside of her. And he asked her why she was about to hook up with that wolf. She internally was like, it's because I wanted to make you jealous, duh. But she doesn't end up answering him, and he just continues pleasing her. And just as she's about to orgasm, he pulls his fingers out, not allowing her to come. He tells her that if he sees that fucking dog touch her again, he'll neuter him. And then he leaves her stranded in the cemetery alone. He just like walks away.
Ugh.
It takes her 30 minutes to walk home alone. And when she finally gets to her house, she sees through her window that Damien Duval is inside Bran's house. So the older brother. They look like they're in an intense conversation. So she sneaks outside and quietly goes up to the house and listens in. She hears Damien say that someone's keeping secrets and that there's something special about Jesse and the locks aren't just going to give her up. Bran told his brother to give him until she pledges to try to figure something out because he doesn't want it to lead to a war. Damien agrees and he leaves. And just as Jesse's about to leave, the wind shifts and Bran's eyes snap up to where she was just a millisecond before, and she ducked and ran into her house.
She's a little creeper.
She is. She's pissed that everyone is keeping secrets from her, so she plans on sleeping on the couch to interrogate her sister the second that she gets home. But she wakes up to her sister standing over her, covered in blood, with a gaping wound in her neck, and she whispers, "Help me," before she passes out.
Oh.
Jesse's screaming for help, and then her back door slams open, and it's Bran. He tells her that he can't help unless she invites him in, but she can't bring herself to say yes because she still doesn't know who or what to trust, so she drags Kelly outside to him. Once Kelly's outside, Bran bites into his arm and feeds Kelly his blood, healing her. And once she starts healing, they ask Kelly what happened, and she has no recollection of the events, and they realize that she's been compelled. The last thing that Jesse remembers was that Kelly was heading over to the locks. Kelly's feeling better. She goes back inside, and Jesse is covered in Kelly's blood, so Bran, the king he is, takes off his shirt, and it's like the sexy way where they like grab it by the back of their shoulder blades and like lifts it over their head.
I would get my head stuck.
100%. Me too. I'd look like Beavis and Butthead.
Cornhole Leo.
Yeah. I feel like I'd be like
He takes off his shirt all sexy, and then he starts wiping the blood slowly off of her with his shirt, which is hot.
That's so sweet.
She's kind of getting swept up in the moment, though, so she turns to go back inside, and he's like, Pookie, like, where are you going? Your sister was literally just attacked. You're staying with me so I can protect you.
But fuck Kelly.
Yeah, fuck Kelly. She's on her own.
They get to his house, and she's still worried about Kelly, obviously, but he assures her that Julian will put security at her house, and Bran drops the bomb that Kelly is Julian's blood meat. And this whole time, Jesse believed that Kelly rejected Julian as her blood meat, and that's, I guess, like what her sister kind of told her. But Bran tells her that Kelly and Julian actually made a deal, that Kelly would be his blood meat if he left Jesse untouched until her pledging. She gets a glass of whiskey, and she wants another one, and he's like, whoa, slow down. And she's mad that he's treating her like a kid and not like an adult. And he's like, I'm literally old as fuck, and compared to me, you're a baby. She's like, that makes you a cradle robber then. And he's like, little mouse, I haven't fucked you yet. And she's like, yet. She got like a little mental image of them fucking, and she gets horny, which he can smell because he has a heightened sense of smell, so he can smell when she gets horny. And the tension is there, and suddenly she wants him to sink his teeth into her.
I want to sink into his wickedness and let him do wicked things to me. I don't have clean clothes, I say, because that's the only logical thing that comes to mind. Guess you'll have to go without.
Guess so.
They both head upstairs into his room. His room is super clean and super tidy, and she has, like, really bad OCD when it comes to messy things. So she's like, ooh, this makes my pussy wet.
That'll do it.
He gets the shower ready for her, and she tries fighting him one more time, saying that, like, this isn't a good idea, I really should go. But he stops her in her tracks, saying that she's staying. End of discussion.
I'm not sure why when he talks to me like that, my panties practically turn into a puddle. Because you like him. You want to fuck him.
He tells her when she's done with her shower to come to bed with him, and he promises he'll behave for now. She's washing her hair when she hears the shower door open, and it's Bran, and he walks into the shower with her.
Bran, I start, not exactly sure where I'm going, but feeling like I need to go somewhere. His hand follows the flat plane of my stomach, then dips down, down. I moan. I can't help it. It's the promise of his touch, the feel of him hard at my back. He cups my mound, and I wiggle against him, trying to rock to leverage some friction. But he tightens his hold on me and presses me against the cool shower wall. Needy little mouse, he says at my ear, his voice rough like rock salt.
And that's her little nickname, is Mouse.
Little Mouse.
She asks him why they're doing this. Is it a game? And he's like, everything I do is a game. And then kisses her.
I don't care if we don't like each other. I don't care if I'm supposed to pledge myself to the lock vampires, or that I plan on leaving midnight, or that Bran might be twisting me for his own ends. I just fucking want him. Just flesh and bones and fucking and kissing. And he pulls away from me and sinks to his knees. I look down to find his eyes glowing that vampire fire. Fangs protrude from his mouth. His earlier warning comes back to me. My control is growing weak. I'm tempting him, and I want to be tempted too. The thought of him biting me, tell me to stop, he purrs. I hang my head back, let the water spray across my body. I'm burning hot, and I think a little delirious. Not a chance. He lifts my leg, draping it over his shoulder, bearing me to him, and then he sinks his fangs into my inner thigh. I can't help it. I hang my head back and cry out in ecstasy.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
So he's literally sucking her blood and fingering her at the same time, and she's experiencing pure ecstasy. When he's done drinking her, he tells her she tastes just as sweet as he thought she would, and she begs him to fuck her. He says he will fuck her when he's good and ready, and that she doesn't control this. He starts stepping out of the shower, and she's like, fine, if you won't get me off, I'll do it myself. And then he comes back in and grabs her arms, and he tells her she doesn't get to come until he says so. They both know she loves him telling her what to do. He opens her legs and starts rubbing his dick against her pussy, so he's not fucking her, but he's just like riding himself into her, and he won't let her come until she begs.
Please, I moan out. Bran's grip tightens on my hips as he picks up the sliding tempo of his cock, fucking my clit as the pressure builds and builds. Go on then, he says at my ear. Let me hear you come, naughty little mouse.
He ends up coming too, and he's coming. He just like came like all over her puss and legs. Like, and they're in the shower, so she tries washing it off, but he's like, no, leave it. He does help her wash her hair, though, which is super sweet of him, and then they both step out and go to lay down together. He cuddles her and then praises her by saying, good girl. They wake up to someone pounding on the door, and Bran goes to investigate, only wearing a low-hanging pair of jeans. She puts on one of his flannels that's like a dress on her, and then heads down to see what's going on. She hears a demanding, familiar voice asking where she was, and Bran's like, she's in my bed. She hears a person say that she was his, and she turns the corner to see Julian Locke standing there.
What way? I thought that was Kelly's man.
When the men see her, Julian tells her to come home because her sister is worried. And they were like, hey, you don't happen to know anything about what happened last night to Kelly, do you? And he like visibly pales, but denies that he knows anything, and they both know that he's lying. Julian tries to get her back to the house, and she's like, no thanks. He warns Jesse to be careful about Bran. He leaves, and she tries asking Bran, like, what that was about, but he changes the subject, saying that they have something to do. They have to go visit Rita, her boss, because she was the one who made her protection charm. So she has, like, this necklace that she's worn ever since she was a child, and apparently it's, like, a protection charm. That means that her boss, Rita, knows probably more than she should. But Jesse's surprised because she didn't know Rita before she got her job, and she's surprised that Rita didn't say anything about the necklace before. unless it was supposed to be kept a secret. Bran tells her that Rita will tell them what they need to know because she owes him a favor. And she's a little sideswept by that because Rita hates vampires. They're driving and she's looking at him and she's like thinking about how hot he is and he can smell her arousal. He's like, should I pull over and fuck you against the hood of this car? She's like, nope, what happened last night will never happen again. And he's like, sure.
Why? Just fuck the man.
I think she's just fighting her instincts, I guess. They get to the coffee shop and they both step out of the car together and it's causing a stir through town because a Duval vampire and a McMahon human out together is not normal. Everyone knows she's basically promised the Locks, and the Locks and the Duvals have the most known biggest feud between vampires. So this is like really hot tea that they're together right now. They get in the back of the shop to talk to Rita and ask her what the hell is up. She spills the beans and says that her mom was the one that asked her to make the charm for her when she was a child. Jessie feels like she doesn't know anything about her life right now. She just feels like everything is a lie and really the only person she can trust right now is surprisingly Bran. And her feelings are super overwhelming at this realization, and she also realizes that she's falling for him. Then she gets thrown back to the present when Rita drops a bomb saying that the necklace is not a protection amulet.
Then what is it?
It's a binding amulet. And Rita has wanted to tell Jessie about this since she's hired her, but Kelly asked her not to. Now Jessie's like, what other secrets are being kept from me? And Bran asks what the binding is for, but Rita's like, I didn't ask Jessie's mom. She just told me to make it, so I made it. Bran asks her to undo it, and Rita says she can, but she needs a new moon to do the spell, which happens this Thursday after Jessie's pledging. So that's when Jessie has to pick the Lock House or the Duval House.
So they have to pick one. They can't just, like, live there.
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and then she's promised to the Lock House. So she's supposed to pick them, but it's up in the air, if she will. She thanks Rita for the help, and when they go to leave, Rita warns them to be careful of the consequences since they have no idea what they're unbinding. As they leave, Bran takes them to a Lock-owned restaurant in Parks, saying that he's going to be truthful, and he knows certain details about the Lock House because he has a spy that works in their house. So at this restaurant, they go straight to the manager's office, and the woman who opens the door, her name is Runa, and she's a high-ranking Lock vampire. Runa and Bran exchange some words in a language Jessie doesn't recognize, and then they go back to the car. He explains to her that they're gonna meet Runa at his usual meetup spot with her, and then they go to this house on the other side of town. And he owns like multiple properties in town, but he chooses to live in the townhouse next to her for whatever reason.
Okay. He just likes the nice, small, cozy comfort of a townhouse.
He just likes standing naked in front of his window so his neighbor can gape at him.
He tells her that he only built this house out of spite to Julian Locke because he wanted the property as a waterfront property, and Bran's like, fuck you, I'm buying it, and then built like a giant mansion on it. Just then, Runa bursts into the house grabbing Bran by the throat, saying he's gonna get them both caught. His eyes turn amber as he snaps her wrist, bringing her to her knees, saying she doesn't attack him in his own home. She backs off and he pours them all a drink, and after a moment, he tells Runa to spill everything she knows regarding Jessie and the Lock House. She says that she doesn't know much, but then he goes to the kitchen because he knows this is bullshit, and he grabs a wooden stake, throwing it and lodging it into her shoulder.
See? Wooden stake. What did I say?
He tells her to think a little bit harder and slowly walks up to her with the second one, and she's like, whoa, 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 whoa. There is one thing from a very long time ago. Runa says when Jessie was a kid, Sasha, another Lock vampire, let her ride on her back and race around the property because kids loved how fast vampires go. But when they came back, Sasha started acting weird, and then the next day, Julian killed her.
Wow.
What does she know?
Jessie vividly remembers the ride and how much fun she had with Sasha, but she doesn't remember the ride back to the property.
Weird as fuck.
Runa also says there's a rumor that a shifter witnessed what happened that night. His name is Cal. We learn that Cal is the alpha of the Midnight Pack, and Jessie voices that there goes like all hope knowing because they can't go over there to get answers because of the feud between vampires and werewolves, and Bran's like, no, we're going and we're gonna get answers. They cross the river to the shifter community, and she describes it as looking like a mini Norway because Cal is Scandinavian and it's cozy and beautiful, and Jessie's like, it's nice. Once they get to the property, Bran parks and she admits she's scared to see where this goes. He tells her he knows she is, but to get the feelings under control because they have information to find out. He grabs her thigh and now she's thinking about something else.
Oh, what is it?
She's a horny girl.
She is.
If it'll help get you through this meeting, he says and leans across the center console, bringing his other hand to my jaw, tipping me toward him. How about I give you something to look forward to? And what's that? I'll fuck you.
Do it.
He kisses her neck and she begs for him to fuck her right now. And he says that he doesn't like the idea of getting staked with his cock buried inside of her. Because he's like, we're in the werewolf community. I do not want to die being over here. We're not even supposed to be over here.
Fair.
He leaves the car and she follows after him, hella soaked. And when they get to the front door, a beta named Fox stops them to be their escort to Cal. But Jesse is to wait in the lobby since she isn't pack pledged. So only Bran can go back there. She has to hang out. Bran hesitates, but ultimately follows. And as she waits for him, Evan says hi to her and steers her away, asking what she's doing there. She explains the thing with Bran, but doesn't elaborate. He guides her to like a billiards room so they can play a few games while she waits. But after 10 minutes, Evan does the old, you're holding the pool cue wrong. Let me show you how to do it. As he's behind her, showing her how to hit the ball, Bran walks in furious. The wolves don't stand a chance against Bran, though. And in one moment, Evan is crashing against the bar with Bran smashing him to the floor and punching his face. One of Cal's seconds bursts through the room, snapping the pool stick and holding it to Bran's throat, telling him to let him go. Bran does as he says, and then Cal steps into the room and is like, let's go outside and finish this conversation. So once they're outside, Cal lets Bran know if he steps foot onto shifter territory again, he will die. And then he turns to Jesse and says that he's been waiting a long time for her to show up and ask her questions.
What the fuck?
He leads them to a more private spot. He says while he was out on a run, he heard a child laughing, and that's when he spotted young Jesse riding on Sasha's back. When Sasha set her down for a moment, she fell and scraped her hand, but she started crying because her necklace fell off and her mom gave her that necklace. Sasha had lifted Jesse's hand so she could take a look, and then something changed. Sasha looked hypnotized, but not in bloodlust, and she bit Jesse's wrist. He launched to go help, but just as he was running to her, Sasha stopped and she said, something's wrong. Grab Jesse, and then they just vanished.
What is happening?
He tells them that he doesn't get involved in vampire business, but he did let Jesse's mom know since that's one of the rules, like they're not supposed to bite an unwilling person.
Yeah, child.
Cal then tells Jesse that her mom made him a deal to never talk about what he saw, and she would make sure the pack got whatever it needed. She feels very sick to her stomach, and Cal says, unfortunately, that's all he knows. So Bran picks her up, and they leave. When they get to his house, he pours her a glass of bourbon, and she's like, what the fuck is going on? Did you taste anything weird when you bit me last night? And he says, no, but when Sasha bit her, she wasn't wearing her necklace, so maybe the binding spell makes it different. And she's like, well, we're about to fucking find out. And she takes her necklace off and is like, bite my wrist. Tell me what you taste. Before he does so, he grabs a stake and tells her that if something happens, to actually use it, like stab him if she needs to, it doesn't matter. She says, okay, and then he bites her. The initial pain is replaced with pleasure as he drinks from her, and he releases her almost instantly, telling her that she's sweeter than she was before. So it definitely tastes different, but he's not sure how. She asks if he's okay, and he says, yeah, he's just feeling a little horny now.
Oh.
He reaches across the table and grabs me by the arms, hauling me onto his lap so that I'm straddling him. He's so hard it almost hurts. He grabs my ass, rocking me against him, and a fluttery breath escapes me. Oh, he's turned on.
He tells her that he always keeps his promises, and he promised he would fuck her. He sets her down, tells her to take her clothes off and get in the chair to turn around.
Good girl, he says, coaxing a buzzy thrill from my pussy. Legs spread.
Okay.
So obviously she's naked now and does what he says. He comes up behind her and grabs her neck while his other hand skims down her thigh.
Mouse, he says, you're already dripping down your legs. I moan at the pressure of his grip and wiggle my hips as if I'm trying to tempt him to move faster. And then he slaps my pussy with the flat side of his palm. Always with the pussy slapping. Always.
She can't help but think how badly she needs him. And then he tells her she needs a safe word just in case he pounds her virgin pussy too hard.
Oh.
Her safe word, Riley, can you guess?
Blood.
Tomato.
Oh.
We were close.
He makes her promise to use it if she needs to, and she says okay. He starts to finger her and tells her to fuck herself on his hands. As soon as she's almost there and about to come, he stops her and he pulls his fingers out, tells her to get upstairs, and she sprints.
She says, yes, sir.
Fucking it.
Without warning, he's on me, tossing me onto the bed on my stomach. He forces my legs open, grabs me by the hips, and yanks my ass into him. The hot throb of his cock is suddenly at my wet opening.
Yeah. Can you just, like, imagine losing your virginity doggy style? That would probably hurt so bad because it's already, like, deeper.
Yeah.
That'd yeah, be horrible. No. I was in missionary when I lost mine.
Same.
I think everybody was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this poor girl, he pushes inside of her and fucks her at a fast and brutal pace. Like, he doesn't give her time to adjust.
He says, your pussy's gonna take it.
Just as she is about to come again, he pulls out of her and tells her not yet. And then he spins her around to straddle his lap and puts himself back into her.
So fucking tight, Mouse. He pumps into me. I knew fucking this pussy would be good, but I wasn't prepared for how good. You've thought about this? I thought about this pretty little pussy on my cock every fucking day. Oh. That'd make me be like, oh my God. Same.
She immediately comes with his admission and then he comes inside of her. Once they collapse on the bed, he tells her not to leave midnight because he doesn't want her to. He also admits that he did sense something else in her blood.
Is she a vampire?
No, he could taste Faye in her blood without the necklace.
Faye!
The end.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
That's the end.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. Now I understand why you'd want another book.
I mean, there's more. There's plenty more.
Yeah. And they're all out, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Well, that was a cute little spicy little tale.
It was. And Nikki St. Crow's writing never disappoints.
No, no. Never.
I love her writing. Her.
It was really fun to read. Like, I didn't want to put it down at all. I was like, turning the pages.
And then the pages just stop.
They do.
With that bombshell dropped on you.
And they said, bye. See you on the next one.
Yeah.
All right. So, Riley, how many red pepper emojis do you give this one?
I think like a solid 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think Bran is sexy?
I do. I think the way he like carries himself and talks is nice.
Would you trade places with Jessie?
Maybe.
It's like we don't even know what her story is.
I know. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't know what's going on yet. I don't know what she's been through. What's going on? So I don't know.
No, nobody knows.
Maybe. I'll leave it at that. Maybe.
So next week is actually the last episode of our second season.
Crazy.
And we will be back on January 1st, 2025 for our third season. We're going to spend some time with our families for the holidays.
Ew.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Ew.
Boo.
But Riley and I will still be doing weekly episodes of r/smut over on Patreon, and we will still be releasing our monthly episodes on all podcasting platforms. So if you miss us, you can go check out the Patreon.
Yeah.
Here's some good stories.
They are good.
They are good. Some of them I'm like, jaw dropped.
So next week, we're telling Riley all about Scream for Us by Molly Doyle. And we're going to have her look at the cover and give us her best guess on what it might be about.
All right. It's got a pumpkin on it, like a spooky little pumpkin. So I think it's going to be Halloween themed.
Just in time.
Uh-huh. It's going to be during the month of October. I know that. And I think our main female character is going to be doing
some screaming.
You know what? Okay. I think I'm going to be pulling it towards, I'm going to be thinking more like Scream, the movie Scream. I don't know why.
Oh.
That's just what immediately comes to my brain. So I'm going to be thinking, I'm thinking, wow, I can't get my words out. She's going to be doing some festive fall activity and there's going to be a man dressed up and she's not going to know his identity. And it's going to get spicy when she meets him, and they're going to hit it off and they're going to be talking. But he's kind of a bad boy, like they always are. And she's going to fuck this masked man. And then Halloween's going to be over, maybe. I don't know. And then she's going to meet this man, but she's not going to know it's the masked man.
Wow.
Yeah.
I haven't read it yet, so I have no idea.
There are a couple of points that we're on.
Okay.
Not the whole thing, but you got a little bit of it.
I'm coming back, baby.
Just in time for the season 10.
Yeah. Dang it.
All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye. All right. Well, if you liked this episode, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at @SmutUpAndListenPodcast and on TikTok at @SmutUpAndListen.
Tell your friends, but not your mom. And we'll see you later, you horny little rats.
Bye.